Well, we are going to be talking about the NFL's plans to incentivize organizations for minority hires, which was a load of bullshit. But I'll give you a little preface before we jump all the way in. So right now, the NFL is implementing what's called the Rooney Rule, which requires basically all organizations that have a head coaching vacancy to interview at least one minority coach, minority being non-white, basically. You know, there's been some talks about offering more incentives to teams to actually hire not only black coaches, but also black executives and things of that nature. So to include GMs and things of that nature. And actually just today, they decided to table the discussion. And a lot of the tabling came from the backlash from it being presented into the public. But, you know, they talked about, you know, extra draft picks or, you know, moving up in the draft round or things of that nature. It's quite ridiculous, if you ask me. It was quite ridiculous. You know, and for those of you that do not know, as it stands right now, there are four
minority coaches.
Minority head coaches and two GMs, one in Cleveland, and then the other, I believe, is in Miami, actually. So that is where the NFL stands as far as minority coaches and GMs. Understand that the NFL is about 70% black from a player perspective. From a player perspective, the NFL is about 70% black. And we can actually take this if we wanted to transition up into another sport. We could transition this even to basketball, where you have one president, which is Doc Rivers. You have, I think, Steve Mills and Ujiri over in Toronto. There are no majority black owners.
Well, Mike's majority.
No, Mike's not majority no more.
Yeah, Mike's majority owner.
Okay, I didn't think he was.
Yeah, I didn't think he was no more.
I didn't think he was anymore, but I'll fact check that here.
Make sure.
Yeah. Let me know, because I didn't think he was anymore, but I could be wrong. If he is, he's the only majority black owner in the NBA as it stands. And again, the NBA is actually, I believe, 75% black from a player perspective. I'm not even going to say minority, because I don't like using that word per se. It's 75% American, African-American, however you want to word it.
He's majority owner.
Okay, so at least the NBA has one majority owner. So obviously, you know, the objective tonight is for us to speak to in an objective format about the disparity of black head coaches, black GMs. Obviously, in the NFL, we can talk about black ownership. Let's have an objective conversation. We're gonna have an objective conversation about it.
there will never be any black owners in the NFL. But continue, my bad. I apologize.
You know, I'll never say never, but
this ain't a Justin Bieber song.
Only because at the very least there is one non-white owner in the NFL. Non-white owner in the NFL.
Who's that?
The dude that owns the Jaguars.
Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Oh.
He's Indian. Okay. Yeah, the Indian dude.
Yeah.
We like to party.
That's always the next option. That's always the next option right there. Indian.
The oil money, baby.
Cut it out. Now, Corey, I'll let you chime in and just kind of let you kind of speak to what you understand and, you know, kind of how you feel about it.
Well, this man, it should be looked at as a slap in the face, man. No, I feel about everything. I like things to be done the natural way. I'm not a fan of the original Rooney Rule. I'm not a fan of what's on the job. I always forget the name. I always get the name. The job, you know what I'm saying? The quota and everything. Meeting quotas, I've never been a fan of that, because you know it's first of all it's begging to be somewhere where you're not wanted, and like I said, and then when once you get there, you forcing somebody to have you there, it leads to mistreatment, and you'll never really have any true resolution on issues like that when it's forced. And then this is just absolutely ridiculous. I mean, we talking about actually affecting the integrity of the game just to, you know what I'm saying, just to get a black coach or whatever, or a female coach. Like, actually, I mean, what are they gonna do, start spotting teams 10 points before the game now? It's ridiculous, man. And it makes you feel like, you know, if people should look at it like that alone should make you feel like you're less than. But somebody has to start putting different parameters and things like that, like you in the Special Olympics, like paraplegic or something, man. That's basically what it's like. That's basically what it's like. It's like, you know what I'm saying? Just like when you got people, you know, people like the, that goes outside of just football. I mean, even in society in general, you know, it's become the thing where people got to go out of their way to uplift the black people and stuff like that, when we don't do it ourselves and do it through our own work and don't worry about stuff like that. We got to have, you know, a pat on the back, and people got to sit up here and front like they're for your fight, just to feel like, just so you can feel like, hey, I'm on your side too, so let me throw some nice little words and stuff like that. Like I said, it's like clapping for the last place person. It's like everybody getting the trophy. It's like clapping for the winner at a Special Olympics. You know what I'm saying? And like I said, you know, that's competition. But if you put them against the real Olympics, the big time Olympics, you know, stuff that's worldwide, you know, they're not going to be able to compare. So it's like you putting them over here instead of, hey, why don't you, you know what I'm saying, compete with the big dogs. You know what I'm saying? Compete with the big dogs. It's just like when I'm sitting up here, it don't care who I'm playing. If I'm playing a girl, you know what I'm saying? If I'm, you know, I might take it easy on a kid, but, you know, playing, I'm going to still be competitive, and I'm going to put my foot on that neck, because I believe that'll bring out the best in a person. You know what I'm saying? Not sitting up there and trying to play down to the level and baby them with kid gloves. Now, you can show them little things and kind of slow it down, but you gotta get hard. You gotta, you know what I'm saying, throw them out in the fire so they can get better. You're seeing this, we're having this same discussion. I mean, we're here in 2020, still having this same discussion. Like you said, there's no trying to force them to get coordinators, trying to get just GMs and presidents. And then, like you said, there's definitely no owners. So when, you know what I'm saying, when does somebody go out their way, you know what I'm saying, and create that lane for themselves, you know what I'm saying? Or are we going to just keep begging the NFL, you know what I'm saying, begging the NFL, knowing that we got to force them to treat us the right way and doing, you know, treat us the right way, and been doing this for what, over 50 years now, man. It's like, when do we take, you know what I'm saying? When do minorities or whoever, you know what I'm saying, is aimed for, start taking it into their own hands. You know what I'm saying? Because it's just going to be the same thing forever. And like I said, this is just, it should feel like a slap in the face, because it's not naturally done. It's not done on, you know what I'm saying, on, you know what I'm saying, like, on what's been earned. It's not been done what's been earned within the eyes of the other person. Like, you're just forcing somebody to be there, and you're forcing them. I think they said they got to have them on a 1 or 2 year, something like that. Something about the, I think that they got to have them on a 2 year deal or something like that, because they've agreed. They've had an agreement. They took the draft picks off, but now they having it to where, I think it was before, you only had to do one head coach, but now you got to do, I think, one for a head coach. If I remember right, you got to do one for head coach. Got to have one for some coordinators and stuff like that. And it's tedious. It's like, why are we doing this? You know what I'm saying? It's like I said, it's just going to lead to maltreatment, people wasting their times, and, you know, they just going to go out the door. They're going to go out the door. They're going to wait till that time's up and then cut them loose. We had you here for as long as we needed you here. Now let's keep it moving. And now you're talking about, but the draft pick thing, that was so, like I said, that was so utterly ridiculous, man. That didn't even, that's destroying the integrity of the game. Cause now what you going, now everybody's going to be doing it. Everybody's going to be doing it, but it's not going to be done under truthful circumstances, man. That's, you're going to be sitting there looking at a whole bunch of black coaches, and everybody's just going to be doing this so they can get draft picks, get an advantage, get a game advantage. That takes away from the integrity of the game. But I mean, that's, you know, it's up to each his own. However a person wants to get to their destination, whatever. But like I said, when does self-ownership and things like that start coming into place? You had Draymond Green talking about he didn't want the owners to be called owners anymore, because that felt like, you know, said, I guess he felt like a slave. That's ridiculous. Instead of, like I said, becoming an owner, your damn self. You say 70% of the league is black, and then higher than that in the NBA. Higher than that in the NBA. So these motherfuckers just went somewhere else, pulled a little bit of money together, and started playing in there, starting in different gyms around the league, and we're going to fly here. And LeVar Ball figured out something by himself. You know, LeVar Ball figured out something. It didn't make it all the way, but he had a season of it. So why can't these NBA players do the same thing? That's why, you know, it's ridiculous, man.
What?
Randy, go ahead, man. I heard you want to say something. Go ahead.
Oh, so yeah, I was going to just ask. So do you believe that there's still integrity in the game of the of football? That's the question I propose to you.
So are you talking about from a player perspective or a leadership perspective?
Both.
I mean, yeah.
Well, you talking about on the field and off the field?
Yeah, both.
Oh no, there ain't no integrity, man. Integrity left, man. Once they started calling on the field, the integrity left. Once they started calling roughing the passers. for even tapping anything below the waist on the quarterbacks. And that's why you got, you know, Tom Brady's able to play till he's 45 or whatnot. You know, Tom Brady would have been gone. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? If the rules are what it is before. And I think he's the one that helped bring those rules into play when Bernard Pollard slid into him and screwed his leg up. But, you know, like I said, he was the cash cow, but it was plenty of guys who were having their legs broken. And I mean, Theismann, you saw his injury he had back in the 80s, you know, and they didn't change nothing for him. So it was when Brady, you know, he was the cash cow, you know, they lost him for that whole season. That's when they started, you know, making those changes. So nah, integrity's been gone. It's just in sports in general. Integrity's gone. Everything's about the money, man. Everything's about the money first and foremost. So yeah, the integrity's gone. Basketball, everything. You know, they they put those little rules in, freedom of movement and stuff like that, trying to put these rules in to increase the offense. And what that does, it brings more casual fans. It brings more casual fans in. They're like, woo, you know what I'm saying? It's 130 to 131. You know what I'm saying? They get to see that. But, you know, for the traditional, the true fans, they're like, this is awful basketball. Like, I want to see a tough, I want to see a physical game. So,
All right, Lauren.
On football, I can understand the physical aspect because of the way they fucked it up. Those lawsuits, they got screwed up keeping that CTE situation, keeping that under wraps like they did. So once it got exposed, they had no choice but to change the different rules with that. But
Lauren?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Rooney Rule is basically the NFL's version of affirmative action.
That's what I was saying. That's how much I don't give a damn about it. I don't even be remembering the name. I think every time I bring it up, I'm like, what the hell is it called? Like the quota. The nigga quota.
So you saying, Corey, if I heard you right, you saying you don't agree with Chris Rock when he was like, if it's between me and him, but affirmative action gets me in, fuck him.
I mean, it's about how you want to get it. You know, I'm gonna take advantage of it too. But at the same time, you know,
yeah,
where is it got us?
Yeah,
where is it got us?
So my perspective is, we do this the slow way, or we do it the slow way. You pick. We do this the slow way, or we do this the slow way. So there's two options in which, over time, we can begin to really create the in your words, the natural way of doing it. So the first way, obviously, would be for us as a minority group to, as a group, get a team. You know what I'm saying? I don't believe one individual would be able to do it. I think it would have to be a collective group, not because somebody doesn't have the money to do it. I think you have to have muscle along with that money. Maybe not muscle, but maybe strength in numbers is what I'm trying to say. You know what I'm saying? Strength in numbers, just for that protection, for that backing. You know what I'm saying?
Do you think that'll still persuade? Because when we talking about
I do.
You know what I'm saying? Dealing with people with money and in those circles like that, there's a lot of nepotism. You know, they like to keep it within their circle with friends and things like that. So a motherfucker could come with a big bag. You know what I'm saying? They could come with a bag, but it's up to the seller to accept your offer. You know what I'm saying? Be like, you know, it's just like, you know, somebody, you know, come to me with $3 billion, but Lauren got, you know what I'm saying? All Lauren got is $100 million. It's up to the seller. Like me as a person, I'm gonna be like, oh, I'm gonna put it in Lauren's hands because I trust Lauren. Lauren's, you know what I'm saying, Lauren's my people, you know what I'm saying, and he's gonna be able to carry on the legacy, whereas I don't know you. I don't know this person over here, but like I said, it's up to the seller whether they want that bigger bag, you know what I'm saying, they want that money, or they want to keep their tradition, and this person over here will be hiring not only his seed, but the person who sold it to him, hiring their seed and their descendants. You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying I think it's possible, I guess is what I'm trying to say. I think it's possible with the right person. Like, I don't think a player is going to be able, I won't say a player won't be able to do it. It'd have to be a certain type of player. And I don't know of any players that would fit that mold. Honestly, not because they don't fit it, but because they create a certain level of fear. You know, I think it could be somebody outside. You know what I'm saying? Like there was a conversation, I believe, last season, and I know this was just grins and giggles, But there was a conversation last season about Condoleezza Rice, of our people, coming in. And I don't, I think it was head coach, but it might have been like a GM role or something. I don't remember. But I know her name came up in some conversation. I do believe it will have to be somebody like that, or somebody with more of a business acumen that doesn't necessarily have the connection to sports like that, you know, but just somebody that has a business acumen. Now, and of course, we could go the whole other way. I don't know if we could do it, but we could just create a league, create a brand new league. You know what I'm saying? Like Vince McMahon and them tried to
you
do.
You wouldn't have to.
It would be tough sledding, though. It would be really, really tough sledding. The other thing I wanted to bring up, though, was the same way they have coaching trees, like those things are real. You know, mm-hmm. if you look at the coaching tree in the NFL, you know, you got the, what they say, the Bill Walsh, you know what I'm saying? Bill Walsh brought up all these, the Holmgrens, the Andy Reeds, you know what I'm saying? So you have coaching trees. I do believe you could create front office trees. You know, there are, like I said, we do have two. You know, black GMs in the NFL, you know, you don't have to be loud and boisterous about bringing somebody up with you. And I think sometimes that's the problem. We get super loud and boisterous about it. You know what I'm saying? And it draws attention. Bring somebody up into a tree. You know what I'm saying? You know, the guy from Cleveland, hey, you know, let me get a young minority understudy over here and be like, all right, you know, I'm going to put you on the scout team. You know, you're going to run a scout team, you know, and let him build his way up through the ranks. And this could even extend to college sports, too, because there's a minority coaching disparity in college as well with the number of colleges that you have in Division One and Division Two sports. You have to create a tree, you know what I'm saying? Like you said, descendants almost, you know, to where you just start to kind of bring it, you know, massage it in. You just start massaging it in, you know, and all of a sudden, before you know it, you know, they're there, you know, organically, they're there, you know, because they have programs like this. They honestly do. I don't think they're catered to minorities, though. It's going to take a minority creating something like this quietly, you know what I'm saying? We always had to do it quietly in America, unfortunately. I ain't saying that... we don't have to do it quietly, yes, but you also don't have to be obnoxious about it. And I think sometimes, you know, when we start to, when a celebrity's come into play, that's what I'm trying to say. When a celebrity's come into play and we look at them as those are going to be the ones that get us in, I think that's where we get in trouble. We rely on celebrity to represent us out.
And I think that's where the problem is.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to discredit their capabilities by any stretch of the imagination. I'm really not trying to do it, but you know, you're gonna need, you know, a Bob Johnson type, you know what I'm saying? Not a Jay-Z type, but a Bob Johnson type, somebody that's just a mogul in a non-sports industry, you know. Somebody that's just a savvy business person that understands how business operates, you know, because it matters from a racial standpoint how things are done in America, but even in the upper scale black groups and stuff like that, there's a disparity, you know. You what you call the boules? Is that what the boules and all that? Where they feel like they're on a whole different level of black, you know what I'm saying, than the other black people, you know? And so they tend to treat black people or the regulars as if, you know, they're beneath them as well, you know? But those are the two things that kind of come to mind. Like I said, you know, got to start Start your own league. If the league is 75% black, how come a black person can't come in and bring, hey, y'all come play for me?
I'll be honest with you. You don't even have, like, the black celebrities don't even have to create their own league. They could honestly take.
I don't want a black celebrity creating a league. That's the problem. We need a black business person, a black business mogul. We don't need a celebrity. We need to get away from the celebrity representation of who we are as people.
Because those people bring not just their money, but they bring people's attention. You know what I'm saying? So literally, if let's just say, what's the dude that owns the Weather Channel? I forgot what his name is.
Byron Allen.
Let's say Byron Allen and a bunch of celebrities. What if they was like, yo, we'll partner up with whoever owns the XFL, Vince McMahon or whatever, and we're gonna bring more attention to it, and we have ownership in pretty much all the teams. Like us, each rich individual, whatever, has a certain stake in each team. You know what I'm saying? So I mean, it's something like that that could spark something, but you gotta be willing to take the chance. And I don't know if they're willing to take a chance, and I don't know if everybody's really paid attention that literally two of the players from the XFL are in the NFL now. So
yeah,
people are making noise.
But people, man, they want to, man. These players, man, they in it for the cash. You know what I'm saying? And like I said, there ain't nothing wrong with it. I just wonder, where do these conversations begin with? When, you know what I'm saying, who's having the conversation, and where is it beginning at? Because I mean, they're in it for these players, all these, you know what I'm saying, minority black players, they're in it for the cash, and they're getting that major payday and they're able to do, you know what I'm saying, maybe starting another league ain't what they want to do. You know what I'm saying? That's not what they're trying to do. So
I agree. I agree, because I think it would have already been done.
Yeah. Yes.
I think it would have already been done. And that's why I said, you know, you're not gonna, it's gonna be super duper hard to pull people out of what they already know.
Right.
That's what they already know. That's why I said the better bet is to start to build GM trees, and you know, it's gonna take somebody, honestly, and I'm being transparent when I say this. It's gonna take a coach that is willing to say, I am going to hire more black staff than I hire white staff. It's the truth. It's just the truth, you know what I'm saying? You know.
Well, because when you're talking about playing in that field, that may not even. Now, like I said, I don't know the owners. I don't know the GMs.
Here's what cures all. Hear me out when I say this. This is what cures all. If that were to happen, where a black head coach came in and he hired a predominantly black staff, here's what cures that. Winning. You gotta win. If you win, that will provide an opportunity to start turning the tide. I do believe that. You gotta win though.
Yeah, but yeah, you know, a lot of organizations still don't even give a damn, you know, don't even give a damn. There's organizations, I think. The Bears have been rumored to have the mindset of they don't want a black quarterback. And they've had that mindset forever. I mean, and who is anybody to tell the owner how they want to run, no matter if it's wrong or right, is how they want to run their organization, is how they want everything to be structured. They may have a certain way that they want to see the winning and everything take place. And they want it, when it goes down, they want it done on their terms. And so somebody comes in, the owner, like you said, there's no black owners in the NFL, and what, only one quote unquote minority. But like, we're talking about black because 70% of the league is black. So there's no black owners in there. So get somebody who gets put into a GM position, and all of a sudden they start talking about, I'm going to hire who I want to hire. Well, the owner may want who are their particular people. You know what I'm saying? My owner may want who he wants. See, a lot of it is structure. You know what I'm saying? How different jobs and just how everything goes. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? The structure, even outside of the NFL. You go to Walmart, they want how what they got is going on. They want it structured in that manner. Versus Sam Walton, he's going to have his guys. He's going to have his branch of guys. And then they're going to branch out and branch from there. And more than likely, it's going to be people I know, they know, until it trickles down and you start getting to the worker phase. So I don't think it's just as easy as, hey, you know, I get to the top and this is just a theory, but like I said, I'm not in those circles, but don't. I think it's as easy as, hey, I get to the top. You could try that, but those are serious talks that you're going to have with the actual owner. You know what I'm saying?
I don't disagree with that. Yeah. I totally agree that owners are like, you know, this is mostly in GM roles though. Sometime in head coaching roles too, where an owner already has an idea of who he wants as a GM, or he has an idea of who he wants as a head coach and knows, and the goal is to say, all right, this is who I want. GM, this is who I want my next head coach to be. Or head coach, this is who I was thinking. How do you feel? You know what I'm saying? Like, can you work with this person? Like, that's a lot of the times how the conversation does go. But what I'm saying is that, you know, you just have to be intelligent in how you make your moves. I ain't saying that you, like, and that's why I said you can't come in and, all right, we're going to get rid of all these coaches. I'm bringing a bunch of brothers. You know what I'm saying? I ain't saying that by any stretch of the imagination. I think you do have to balance it out. I think you have to, you know, you may have to bring in a Hispanic, maybe an Asian, maybe a woman. You know,
you think the smartest way possible to go about it is actually having, I mean, and this is a risk, because like I said, you're talking about the owner. So owner can make any decision he wants to make. Mm-hmm. Now, there are legal stipulations that could, if he decides he wants to make a cut because something happened. So it's not just that easy, but it could come down the line affecting the future when your contract is up. But wouldn't that come upon the coaches that are there, a collective effort between coaches, players, different things like that with that particular owner, rather than having all 32 owners get together and we're going to put together some parameters to hire black coaches and give you that sounds just real fugazi. Like I said, it's not organic. It's not an organic way of doing it.
You're talking about the way they're trying to do it now?
The way that they're trying to do it, yeah. The best way to do it is leverage with the owner that you're playing under. Just like, you know what I'm saying, if you want to see something, if you want to go work somewhere and you want to see a change within the company, owner may not agree with you, but the best thing to do, that's why they have different things like the open door policy and, you know what I'm saying, that, you know, stuff like that, so you can voice your opinion. And if they don't want to hear you, then you may have to find another place of employment. But the owner is still going to be the owner, and he wants to structure his stuff the way that he wants to structure.
Yeah, we're not strong enough as a race to really truly do what it takes. We're just not strong enough. And I'm just being honest, because what type of product you gonna put out on the field if 55% of the 70% of black players in the NFL was like, I'm not fucking playing until you do this. I'm just not gonna play. Because you look at what the Kaepernick thing did to the NFL. Split. You know what I'm saying? Had the owners were trying to tap dance around that and couldn't figure out how to tap dance. You know what I'm saying? Think about if 55% of the players in your league were like, I'm not going to play until you fix this shit. You know what I'm saying? So the product you put out there is going to be watered down garbage. It's not going to be watchable. You know what I'm saying? You can go get out a replacement player, just going to be garbage. You know, We're just not strong enough as a race to do something like that, because that's gonna be the thing that would make the needle go from here to here real quick. But we're not strong enough to do that, and so you have to look at other alternatives. And I'm with you where I don't feel like, you know, you need to be giving the team incentive to hire Black people. It's like, the interesting part, and this is, I don't want to turn this into a race discussion, but I do want to make this statement because it was something that happened to me that was relevant today, actually, is how do you talk to the next generation about racism because they don't see it necessarily? Because the world has evolved, the world has changed. You're able to be successful living in a bubble over here and not paying attention to shit else, you know? And so you have these open-ended conversations. My son was watching this video today, and it was about this damn monkey that was shooting Black people. And the whole notion, it was a TikTok video. That's what it was, a TikTok video, you know? And my wife was like, ooh. Yeah, son, and my wife is white, you know what I'm saying? And she's like, yeah, Lauren, can you explain this to him? And I was like, explain what? And I look at him like, and my son was just like, it's a TikTok video. You know, he's young. He's not necessarily supposed to understand the deeper connotation in that, you know. But, you know, it begs the question of how do we make sure that the next generation understands so they can continue to fight? Because we're going to have to continue to fight in order to get anywhere. That's just how it works. You know, there's no way around that. It doesn't matter what we talk about. It doesn't matter what industry we talk about. We're going to have to continue to fight to just kind of push our way in, you know, a little bit at a time if that's what we want, you know. You know, entertainment is one of those tricky fields because sports is part of entertainment, you know. Because you don't see no damn, like, Asians is like, fuck football. Yeah. Fuck basketball. You know what I'm saying? We don't even care about that. Like, y'all can fight up that. We ain't gonna worry about that.
They love basketball. They love basketball. They give two shits about football and American football.
Yeah, but you know what? They don't love it. They don't love it enough to fight for it. What they do is just have basketball in China and all those countries over there. They're not worried about forcing Chinese players to come play in the NBA. I mean, had Cao Ming, you had Jeremy Lin, you know what I'm saying? But the rest of them, they's playing China. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're going to get our money over here. You know, we got enough to do what we need to do. You know, ain't no player over there making, you know, $20 million a year. You know what I'm saying? They make a couple million, they play, then they go, you know what I'm saying, chill with their fam. You know, same with Hispanics in soccer.
Hey, Jeremy Woods says, I feel we will have to weed out all of these old-time owners before we see real change. Let's remember the average age of these owners and that will tell you the times they grew up in. We're still struggling with the generational gap.
To believe that, but I don't believe it anymore.
Once you get owners that fall closer to our generation, you will see the change over. Do you think that there could be?
Nope.
I appreciate the comment, Jeremy, but there could be some validity to that because you got to think, like you said, the age of these owners, they're pretty old.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree with the notion that the age of the owners they grew up in that.
We're not talking about the actual ownership because, of course, that's more likely, and it could switch over, especially like you said, generational gap and where we're at as, you know, the kids younger today. Somebody could be like, hey, I'll give ownership to, it could be a white guy, I give ownership to this Black dude because we like brothers, you know what I'm saying? We have a camaraderie and I trust him. So it could grow to that, but more than likely it's going to be, you know what I'm saying, they're going to keep it in the family and things like that, which is viable, you know what I'm saying? It makes sense, you know, you won't want to do that when it comes to ownership. But, I mean, You know, is it possible when you're talking about, like I said, more GMs, more presidents, more, you know, head coaches and et cetera?
Yes, I do. I do agree with that. And you hear, like, I mean, my daddy said it. You know what I'm saying? Like, change ain't going to happen till these old fuckers die off. You know what I'm saying? Like, but I think, you know, you got it's a couple generations to go to get there. And that's, I mean, you talking about another 30 years. You know what I'm saying? Another 30 years before that could really start to come into fruition, because I feel like our parents' generation is more of that generation than it is ours at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying? I feel like they're more of the old school mentality than we are. You know, so like I said, you gotta wait for really two generations to pass. You know, so that's another 30 years. That's the tricky part about that. I don't disagree with it though. You know, I don't disagree with it at all. I do think that creates just a time challenge, but I guess, you know, we've been waiting this long, we can't wait another 30. Is that what we saying?
I'll be 60, nigga.
Yeah, but you know, I at the end of the day, in order to create change, you gotta take risk. That's what it doesn't matter. You have to be willing to take risk. You have to be willing to, you know, fall on your own sword. You know what I'm saying? You have to be willing to grind by your own means and not be influenced by the people that you are working to try to change the way things happen. You just, you know what I'm saying? You can't fall in line, which is what ultimately they want you to do. That's why, you know, if they say, hey man, you know, we gonna give you this $5 million over here, you know what I'm saying? But you gotta be quiet now. Is your fight worth more than $5 million? That's what you have to ask yourself. That's what Byron Allen said. He said, nah, you're not going to hush me by giving me this network. I bought it, number one. You know what I'm saying? I bought the network with my own funds, or, you know, with my own funding group. You're not going to shut me up, though. I'm worth more than that, you know. You see a lot of, I mean, P. Diddy with Revolt, you know what I'm saying? There's black networks out there, you know, but they have to tiptoe with certain content in order to make it so that, you know, they still get that ratings money and things of that nature. So it's going to take a risk. I do believe it's going to take a risk. But like my man Bruce Arians says, you know, no risk it, no biscuit, you know? So are you willing to fight the good fight, or do you just want, you know, your own piece of the pie so you can advance your own and you keep it moving? You know, it's totally up to each person as an individual, you know. But we do need to really, really start to understand group economics, man, because group economics is what's going to change, what's going to turn the needle for black
people. This could go deeper and deeper, because honestly, but pretty much what I'm trying to say is, literally everybody wants to be the star. Everybody wants to be the star. Nobody wants to be a worker. You know what I'm saying? Everybody wants to be a boss, but nobody wants to put the work in to be the boss. They just want the name title, the boss.
You know, it's not even a work. It's the boss's mentality.
That too, yeah.
It's not the work ethic, because you got to catch the work ethic, but you got to have a certain mentality to be a boss. It's about the mentality. It's not about the work ethic. It's about the mentality.
A lot of nuance that goes into that. Jeremy's got another question. My question is, how do we explain the repression to the next, we going into word on the AF territory. We on Grid Sports Media. My question is, how do we explain the repression to the next generation without creating more separation? Something I personally dealt with, being a man that just sees people for people. Best thing to do.
That's interesting. He said a word in there that I want to kind of pick at a little bit. And that word is separation. why are we so fearful to be on an island on our own, to be set?
I believe he's speaking on racial separation. He's speaking on racial separation. I don't think that's what's been implanted into just, you know, Black Americans have assimilated ever since integration. They've assimilated into American culture. So they've got the same fucking ignorant problems that people who bought into racism. We gonna do a show on that, figure out how to present it. But the same way you see a lot of people, just, and it's everywhere, a lot of people that they buy into certain mindsets and ideologies, is the same way that racism was able to be bought into. The human mind has throughout history been easy to fucking influence. I mean, you're talking about adults, you know what I'm saying? And it starts from a child. So what we gotta do, though, the only thing to do is actually, we gotta spend a lot of time doing the education and then being truthful, you know what I'm saying? Just being truthful about everything and actually having the conversations about different things. And like I said, education, you know what I'm saying? Education and going through that process and actually being receptive of what the next person is saying. But we got too much emotion in different things that are poured into it. So we tend to not want to hear things that we don't agree with or may not sound right. We got to sit up there. We got to be able to analyze these different things. And like I said, when it comes to that, there's no color, there's no race and things like that. You got to find people who you can just build with, people you can build with, you know what I'm saying? It's mental. It's a whole mental aspect, you know what I'm saying? And so it's, I really think we've gone beyond the whole racial separation thing. I don't even think that's viable, because if you're talking about just trying to
let's do that next week.
On the island, you know what I'm saying, and we start separating, try to create a Black Wall Street, well, shit, man, you better get ready for the war that comes with it, because of the mindset, like I said, the American mindset that's been implanted, you know what I'm saying, into many of us, and you see what's going on, you know what I'm saying? We a word on the Ave territory, right?
Yeah, let's do it next week. Jeremy, tune in next week. We're gonna do a whole segment on it for you. We'll do a whole segment, because I do think that that's an important question to try to answer as we unlock certain things like this. So let's do that next week. Matter of fact, we're gonna put that on the books, people. Next week we'll have a conversation about that, because I do think that, especially for our generation being disconnected from a lot of the things that our predecessors have had to face and had to deal with in their lifetime, we may not have the same connection to it. We don't have the same connection that they do. So let's talk about that next week. Yeah, let's wrap this one up, though. Did y'all have anything else regarding this, how the NFL should handle minority hiring in levels of leadership?
That's screw the Rooney Rule. screw the Rooney Rule.
He's a nice guy, though, man. Shout out to Mr. Rooney, man. He is a nice guy.
Oh, yeah. Appreciate it. You know, I love the effort, but, you know.
He probably didn't even want to be named after him. He was just a guy nice enough to hire Mike Tomlin.
I'd rather the whole process be organic. You know what I'm saying? And work like that. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, but if it can't be like that, then I'd rather not even see it, because it just feels like a complete slapped in the face, man.
Yeah, we don't want a cheat code, man. We don't want a cheat code.
Yeah.
All right, well, that wraps up this episode. Again, anybody that has comments, you know, be sure to drop it in the comment section, and we'll respond accordingly. If you have any feedback or any of your own opinion about this, and just stay locked into it, you know. You know, continue to follow us both on Grit Sports Media and Word on the Ave. Like, turn on your notifications. That way when we post, you know, we try to post daily. You'll get the notification. So until next time, we'll see y'all. We'll be back on the air here in the next few minutes to talk about giving your babies the MMR booster shot. So we holler. Peace.
Ooh. Yeah. Boom. No.